Bilingual Core Interpreting Exercise Number 11, Simultaneous Interpreting. In this exercise, you should start interpreting as soon as possible after the recording starts to play. The exercise will start in 5 seconds.
And tell us generally what you've done since February of 1993, what your duties consist of.
Basically, my duties are the examination and comparison of firearms or cartridge case components back to an individual firearm. That comprises probably 80% of our work. I also do tool mark identification, which is the identification of a particular tool to a mark made on a soft surface, such as a window frame or safe or what have you.
Can you estimate the number of actual cases you've been involved in since you started working in this field in February of 1993?
I do approximately 140 cases a year, so I would guess over 1,000.
All right. Have you previously testified as an expert in the fields of firearms, ammunition, and tool mark identification in courts?
Yes, I have.
And what courts and how many times have you testified as an expert in the field?
Approximately 200 times. I don't know the number offhand.
Those are my questions with respect to Mr. Brown's expertise.
Mr. Darrow, any cross-examination on the qualifications?
Just a few questions. As I understand, what you've now said is that you also have studied wound identification?
Yes.
And trajectory and rifle range type of studies that are associated with weaponry?
Yes.
Thank you. Those are my questions.
The Crown seeks to tender Mr. Brown as an expert in the area of firearms and tool mark examination. I find that he is such, and as an expert, he can express expert evidence in that area.
Mr. Brown, in this particular case, you had occasion to examine certain pieces of ammunition that were sent to you by Constable Sanders of the Prince William RCMP Detachment?
Yes, I did.
All right. Would you take Exhibit 7 first, Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Would you examine that item? Did you receive it from Constable Sanders?
Yes. It bears my case number, date of receipt, which was October 20th, and initials.
All right. Exhibit 8, can you tell us if you also received that on the 20th of October?
Yes, I did.
And what about Exhibit 9?
Exhibit 9 also bears my case number, date of receipt, and initials.
All right. And I understand you received those items personally from Constable Sanders the 20th of October?
Yes, I did.
All right. And you examined those items. Can you tell us what were the results of the examination?
Your Honor, may I look at my work notes?
Mr. Darrow, any problem?
I have no problem.
Thank you.
Court Exhibit 7 was one lead fragment. Exhibit 8 was one portion of copper bullet jacket. And Exhibit 9 was one copper fragment.
Dealing individually with Exhibit 7, which you've identified as a lead fragment, what can you tell us about that particular fragment?
It was the lead core. It appears to be the lead core of a bullet weighing 86.3 grains. There were no identification markings on the fragment. It's just a lead fragment.
All right. Tell me what your examination of Exhibit 9, which you've identified as a copper fragment, revealed.
It's one copper fragment, consistent with a copper bullet jacket and a total weight of 2.49 grains. Relatively small, no identifiable marks on it either.
All right. Let's turn then to your examination of Exhibit 8, the copper jacket. Can you tell us, how did you examine the copper jacket? What did you do to examine that item?
I examined it microscopically and made several measurements of it.
All right. With respect to Exhibit 8, the copper jacket, what, if anything, did your microscopic examination of the copper jacket reveal?
I determined it was a 3.8 caliber bullet, or portion of a copper bullet, or a bullet jacket. It bears rifling characteristics of 6 lands and grooves with a right-hand twist. I then measured the lands and grooves impressions on the bullet, and basically fed the data into our database of rifling characteristics. And I produced a list of probable types and makes of firearms that could have fired that bullet.
I should have asked you, because you're using terms that I'm not familiar with, and members of the jury may not be familiar with. You indicated the characteristics you noted on the copper jacket. Would you explain what each of those characteristics mean?
When a rifle is produced, there's a series of grooved cuts in the barrel. These spiral down the barrel, and between these grooves is a raised portion, and that is known as the land. Basically, when a bullet is fired through a barrel, the bullet is embedded in the land, and this causes the bullet to spin and is forced down the barrel and aids in flight when the bullet leaves the barrel. It's designed to spin the bullet to stabilize it in flight. And from these lands and grooves measurements and the caliber, we have a database of approximately 17,000 different firearms. The database characterizes firearms by caliber, lands and grooves, numbers and width of the lands and grooves, direction of twist, and from that I produced a list of probable types of firearms.
All right. When you say caliber, what does that mean?
The diameter of the bore of the firearm.
Can you tell us, in your opinion, that the firearm that fired the copper jacket was a 30 caliber weapon?
It is a 30 caliber weapon or firearm.
Were you able to match the copper jacket to a firearm?
No, I could not.
That simply means that you were not given a firearm by the RCMP as a result of testing, which you conclude was likely the probable source of that copper jacket.
No, I was not.
All right. Now, I understand that you also examined various items of clothing.
That's correct.
To try to determine a possible range from which a firearm was fired?
That's correct.
Which may have left particles or residue on the clothing, is that correct?
Yes.
All right. Just before you view the clothing, would you tell us what tests were done to try to make this range determination and how you go about doing that test?
When a firearm is discharged at a target at a close range, not only the bullet strikes the target, there is partially burnt propellant that is also ejected from the muzzle, and at close range this is deposited on the target in a pattern. The pattern varies with the distance. At very close range, it's a very dense pattern. It's very concentrated. The further you get away from the object, the propellant or partially burnt propellant disperses. So you get a larger pattern, but it's less dense.
End of simultaneous interpreting exercise.